Coming up next, it's this week's edition of Bill Melberg, political humorist and satirist extraordinaire. You can check out Bill at his website, aneveningwiththepresidents.com. And stand by as we recap the week in politics. Do not go away as we wind down this week with a little humor, because if we don't laugh, we'll cry. Friday mornings at this time, we welcome one of the premier political humorists and satirists at aneveningwiththepresidents.com, aneveningwiththepresidents.com, a U of I alum. It's Bill Melberg. Bill!
Good morning, Stevie. Good morning, Diane.
Hello.
And good morning, Connect FM listeners.
That music not only reminds us of tough losses in basketball yesterday. Hail to the victors, the Michigan fight song reminds us that 1 week ago we were talking about who would win the Michigan primary, native son Mitt Romney or former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum. It was a tough fight and a close vote, but the winner was
Mitt Romney.
Yep.
Stevie and Diane, and no doubt the Republican primary voters in the Wolverine state were favorably impressed when Mitt told them that he loves Michigan. He loves the trees in Michigan. They're just the right height. He loves the lakes in Michigan, even the small ones. He loves the cars in Michigan. His wife, after all, drives two Cadillacs. And now Mitt Romney loves the primary voters in Michigan, all 41% of them, because those 41% gave Governor Romney a narrow 3% margin of victory over Senator Santorum, who won 38% of the vote. As Governor Romney said in his victory speech Tuesday night, we didn't win by a lot, but we won by enough.
Yes, he did, and he scored a far more impressive win in the Arizona primary, where 47% of the Republican voters cast their ballots for Governor Romney, giving Mitt a 20-point lead over Rick Santorum and a 30-point lead over Newt Gingrich. But there'll be more voting tomorrow in Washington State, where some polls show Rick Santorum in the lead there. And next week, we'll be seeing primaries and caucuses in 10 states on Super Tuesday, including Georgia, where Newt Gingrich is now in the lead, Ohio, where Rick Santorum is in the lead, and Massachusetts, where former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney has a very big lead. Joining us once again to give us their expert analysis of the ongoing battle for the Republican presidential nomination, our former presidents, George Herbert Walker Bush, Republican of Texas.
Good morning, Stevie. Good morning, Diane.
Morning.
And Bill Clinton, Democrat from Arkansas.
Howdy, Stevie. Hello, Diane.
Hi.
And gentlemen, let's begin with Michigan. What's your take on the results of the Michigan primary?
Stevie, it was a tremendous victory for my man, Mitt Romney. Mitt really wowed the voters in Michigan with his dynamic personality, his remarkable charm, his incredible wit, and his man of the people image.
President Clinton?
Stevie, it was a moral victory at best. I mean, let's face it. The contest was really a tie, just like Iowa. Mitt Romney won 15 delegates. Rick Santorum won 15 delegates. So even though Mitt got a few more votes, he and Rick walked away with the same number of convention delegates, although the Michigan Republican Party is trying to change those results after the fact. In any case, I wouldn't call that a tremendous victory. But let me tell you something. This battle for the Republican nomination has been fun for me to watch as a Democrat. I mean, this race, it's been a total soap opera.
what do you mean, soap opera?
Well, it all began about a year ago when Mitt re-entered the picture once again following his departure from our story 4 years earlier. But Republican viewers felt no more love for Mitt this time around than they did the last time. That's when Donald entered the picture. And Republican viewers started their first love affair. Or was it just a fling? Donald made their hearts flutter when he demanded to see Barry's birth certificate.
Barry? Oh, being Barack Obama.
That's right. And conservatives were thrilled when Donald went after Barry so aggressively. Sure, he was an arrogant and obnoxious New York billionaire, but there was something about his style that people seemed to like. He might have been a rogue, but he was a lovable rogue, just like me. Then Donald broke conservative hearts when he decided to keep his day job and his night job. That's when Michelle came into the picture.
That would be Michelle Bachmann.
Ah, yes, Michelle. Michelle. She made my heart flutter. But Michelle's star faded all too quickly, and she was soon replaced by that cool Texan, Rick Number One.
You mean Rick Perry?
Yep, that's the guy. But Rick Number One couldn't read his lines, so the producers quickly replaced him with another fascinating character, the Herminator. Herman was a businessman with an engaging smile and a great sense of humor. But it seems Herman had a frisky side, a little too frisky for many conservative viewers. So he, too, was written out of the storyline. Meanwhile, most people still hadn't warmed up to Mitt. He was the one character who was always on stage, but never in people's hearts. Suddenly, Newt flashed across the screen like a shooting star. He could think, he could talk, he could inspire, and he beat Mitt big time in South Carolina. But that twist in the story led the millionaire Mitt to try and give Newt a knockout punch in Florida a few days later. Newt was down, but he hasn't been written out, because Newt's a recurring character in this soap opera who might be back before you know it.
Perhaps as soon as Super Tuesday?
You got it. Meanwhile, Rick Number Two finally entered the story with his toothy grin, his altar boy manners, and his blue sweater vests. Once again, conservatives fell in love, and Rick stole their hearts in Minnesota, Missouri, and Colorado. His ratings began to soar. But Mitt was determined to have a showdown with Rick Number Two in Michigan.
Rick Number Two being Rick Santorum.
That's right. But Rick Number Two lost that showdown in Michigan by a very slim margin. Yet conservatives still weren't falling in love with Mitt. No matter how hard Mitt tried, he just couldn't win their hearts or their minds. And the soap opera continues. Who will finally wind up capturing the hearts of conservative voters? Will Rick Number Two pick himself up and dust himself off in Ohio? Will Newt come back into the story in Georgia? Will Mitt finally win the love he's been so desperately trying to buy? Stay tuned for the next heartbreaking episode of The Old and the Listless. Old and the Listless.
Well, I think you're right, Mr. President. The Republican presidential race has been quite a soap opera, and it's left a lot of people rather listless. But the story will continue in the days and weeks ahead, and we'll be following it right here on Connect FM. And as we thank Presidents Clinton and Bush for being with us this morning, we want to turn our attention to another story, namely this past Sunday's Academy Awards. And for our insightful analysis of the Oscars, we turn once again to our regular point-counterpoint team of Senator John McCain, Republican Arizona, and Congressman Barney Frank, Democrat of Massachusetts. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Stevie, my friend. Good morning, Diane, my
morning.
Friend. Hello, Stevie. Hello, Diane.
Hello.
Hello, Connect FM. Connect FM listeners.
Gentlemen, let's talk about the Oscars. And as we begin our conversation, I should mention that the music we're about to hear is from the artist this year's winner for Best Picture. Senator McCain, what was your reaction to the last Saturday night's Academy Awards, and have you seen the artist yet?
Stevie, my friend, I think it was Sunday night, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, sir. It was Sunday night. I'm sorry.
Well, I enjoy watching films from time to time, but Cindy and I don't really have a lot of time for going to the movies. So you probably should have invited Al Gore to fill my seat this morning, since he's an Oscar winner.
I'm sure you'll do just fine in our discussion, Senator. And I know Congressman Frank enjoys movies, right, Congressman?
Oh, I certainly do, Stevie and Diane. I love Hollywood. The glitter, the glamour, the winning waities. The winning men, the whites, the cameras, the action. I love it all.
And did you see The Artist?
Yes, I did, and I loved every minute of it.
What did you think of Jean Dujardin's performance?
Oh, I thought it was terrific. but I really thought the Oscar for Best Actor should have gone to Uggie, the Jack Russell Terrier. He stole the show, Stevie and Diane. I just love that breakfast scene where George and the dog put on quite a show for Penelope Ann Miller. And if I'm not mistaken, I think we have a clip from that scene.
Yes, we do. And let's run that clip now. Congressman Frank, I think we might have a bit of technical problem with that clip other than the background here that I'm hearing. I don't hear anything.
Of course you're not hearing anything. The Artist is a silent movie. But the breakfast table scene is still one of my favorite parts in the whole film. It's so funny.
but I think television is a better medium for reviewing The Artist. Turning back to Senator McCain, what were some of your favorite films?
My favorite films? Well, let's see. I like The Bridge on the River Kwai, The Dirty Dozen, The Great Escape, Dust Boat, Saving Private Ryan, Platoon, Patton.
Those are all war films.
Yep, that's the kind I like. Did I mention Midway and MacArthur? How about Run Silent, Run Deep? The Hunt for Red October, that was a good one, too.
Congressman Frank, how about you? What are some of your favorite movies?
Stevie and Diane, I love Gone with the Wind, The Wizard of Oz, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and Ed Wood's fabulous Plan 9 from Outer Space, plus Ed Wood's other classic, Gwen or Gwenda. I think Plan 9 from Outer Space was Al Gore's favorite, too. In fact, I think that film was his real inspiration.
Well, I want to thank Senator McCain and Congressman Frank for their look at the Oscars. When we come back, political humorist Bill Melberg will be talking about another one of this year's Oscar winners and the real-life person on whom her performance was based. So stay tuned. 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM. 8:53, we're back with political humorist Bill Melberg. And Bill, as you know, Meryl Streep won the Oscar for Best Actress in her masterful performance as Margaret Thatcher in The Iron Lady.
Yes, she did. And while I still haven't seen the film, the clips look very impressive, speaking as an impressionist.
Yeah.
Meryl Streep had Baroness Thatcher's voice and looked down quite good.
Uh-huh.
But as an impressionist, I can also tell you that there's no substitute for the real thing, especially in Margaret Thatcher's case.
Mm.
So here is a short clip of the real Iron Lady at her finest.
Some socialists seem to believe that people should be numbers in a state computer. We believe they should be individuals. We're all unequal. No one, thank heavens, is quite like anyone else, however much the socialists may pretend otherwise. And we believe that everyone has the right to be unequal. But to us, every human being is equally important. A man's right to work as he will, to spend what he earns, to own property, to have the state as servant and not as master, they are the essence of a free economy. And on that freedom, all our other freedoms depend.
Oh, wow. How about Margaret Thatcher? She really stood up for the principles she believed in, Bill.
Yes, she did. In fact, it was 30 years ago next month that Prime Minister Thatcher sent a Royal Navy task force to the South Atlantic to retake the Falkland Islands after they had been invaded by Argentina. And when some people questioned the cost of sending that armada down there and thousands of British troops so far to rescue so few, Margaret Thatcher said, "It's been suggested that the size of the Falkland Islands and the comparatively small number of its inhabitants, some 1,800 men, women, and children, should somehow affect our reaction to what has happened to them. But let me say this. Principle and right and wrong are not measured by a head count."
Wow. Wow. Of course, Britain won the Falklands War.
Yes, and not only did the task force reclaim the Falkland Islands and rescue its inhabitants, but Mrs. Thatcher toppled the dictators in Argentina by showing her strength and their weakness. All in all, quite a performance by the real Iron Lady,
Wow. Who
was quite a leader. And
Wow. You'll
soon be commanding your own task force to the British Isles, won't you?
Yeah, I'm going to British Isles. You're right. We'll do that in May and June. Looking forward to that for sure. I was at Falkland Islands a number of years ago.
You've been on the Falkland Islands?
I've been on the Falkland Islands.
Excellent.
Port Stanley?
We were indeed. We stopped there, and it was just pretty wide open.
Okay.
And we took a tour. It was not a lot there, but it was it was definitely interesting. Hard to get to the Falkland Islands. We did this on a South America trip.
I guess there are a lot more sheep than people.
We saw a lot of that. We did. Hey, Bill, thanks so much for your time and talent, my friend.
Well, principle's not measured by a headcount.
Yeah, I love that. Love that. They just insert Chief Alanowick there.
Exactly.
All right. In this case, there was a headcount, the 11 that objected. Okay, Diane, you're going to be at...
Bull for Kids' Sake. My time on the mic is at Western Bull on Sunday, March 4th, between noon and 2.
All right, let's raise a lot of money for Big Brothers Big Sisters. Mm-hmm. I'm Stevie J. Thank you for listening. Meet you here on Monday. The Herd is next on ESPN. Have a great weekend.
Hi, this is Habib.